In the neon-lit streets of Miami, Dexter Morgan faces an unprecedented challenge. His dark passenger, the predatory impulse driving him to hunt and kill those deserving punishment, grows increasingly restless. Instead of stalking worthy prey, he finds himself playing kick the can with neighborhood children. Why? Sergeant Doakes, a fellow predator who recognizes something inhuman in Dexter, has become his shadow. Following events where Dexter helped his biological brother escape after a killing spree, Doakes suspects Dexter's involvement in Lieutenant LaGuardia's death. Though Dexter merely watched rather than participated, Doakes' constant surveillance forces him to maintain an exhausting facade of normalcy. This creates excruciating tension within Dexter. The dark passenger grows agitated without release, like a caged animal pacing its enclosure. To maintain his cover, he spends more time with girlfriend Rita and her children, playing perfect boyfriend while Doakes watches from across the street. What makes this predicament so compelling is how it challenges Dexter's carefully constructed identity. The Code of Harry, rules established by his adoptive father for channeling murderous impulses toward deserving targets, has given structure to his life. Now that structure is threatened. Can the monster remain caged indefinitely, or will it find a way to feed despite the obstacles? Just as Dexter settles into his uncomfortable domestic routine, Miami reveals horrors that dwarf his dark deeds. Deborah, his foster sister and newly promoted homicide sergeant, summons him to a crime scene unlike any before. Inside a small house lies what was once a human being, now transformed into something beyond nightmare. On a table under a single light bulb lies a person with every removable part surgically excised. Lips, eyelids, nose, ears, limbs, genitals, all gone. Yet the victim remains alive, forced to stare at a mirror positioned above. Even Dexter's dark passenger feels insignificant before such methodical cruelty. This introduces the book's true monster, Dr. Danko, a former military surgeon who turns victims into living art through systematic dismemberment. What makes Danko truly terrifying is his psychological approach. He doesn't simply kill, he destroys completely, breaking victims inside and out by forcing them to witness their own dismemberment. Compared to Danko, Dexter almost seems merciful, an uncomfortable realization that shifts our perspective on the protagonist. Flashbacks reveal how Harry Morgan channeled Dexter's inherent impulses into a structured ethical framework. After Dexter's foster mother died, Harry initiated a pivotal conversation on Dexter's 16th birthday that defined their relationship. When Dexter admitted lacking conventional interests, Harry suggested alternatives like fishing, a metaphor central to their understanding. Harry established his core guidance principle, requiring absolute certainty before action. He taught discretion and patience, emphasizing that sometimes restraint was necessary despite compelling evidence. These memories showcase Harry's pragmatic approach. Rather than trying to change Dexter's fundamental nature, which he knew was impossible, Harry provided structured guidance towards socially beneficial outcomes. It was a father's practical solution to an unprecedented challenge. In Harry's final moments, his teachings emphasized patience. When there's nothing else you can do, you wait, no matter what pressure you might feel. Watching Harry's peaceful death, Dexter realized, "The only reason I ever thought about being human was to be more like him." While juggling Doakes' surveillance and the Dr. Danko threat, Dexter makes a startling discovery about Rita's son Cody during a fishing trip. In The Quiet Boy, Dexter recognizes a familiar darkness, the same one he carries within himself. When Cody asks if Dexter will be his dad, Dexter is momentarily stunned. But what follows proves more significant. After catching his first fish, Cody watches Dexter explain they'll need to remove the swallowed hook. When Dexter briefly turns away, he returns to find Cody methodically stabbing the fish with the fillet knife, watching it struggle before driving the blade into its gills, blood covering the deck. "I like fishing, Dexter," the boy says with a rare smile. In this moment, Dexter recognizes a kindred spirit, another damaged child with predatory instincts. Could he become for Cody what Harry was for him? Could he teach the boy a code to channel his darkness? This raises questions about whether their shared darkness is innate or trauma-induced. Kyle Chutsky reveals the disturbing connection between Doakes, Dr. Danko, and covert operations in El Salvador. Both served in special forces, Doakes as a shooter and Danko as an interrogator who discovered his complete lack of empathy during medical school, creating an uncomfortable parallel with Dexter's own condition. In El Salvador, Danko perfected his gruesome techniques, developing different patterns for dismembering victims while addressing them clinically. Let's try number 5. When political winds shifted, Chutsky and others betrayed Danko, setting him up for capture. He was imprisoned at Cuba's Isle of Pines, where he was turned before escaping with vengeance in mind. The loyalty message now makes sense. Danko is methodically hunting his betrayers, transforming them into grotesque living sculptures. Each victim loses body parts according to a macabre game of hangman, with words like treachery determining which limbs are removed. With Doakes surveilling him and Dr. Danko targeting Doakes' associates, Dexter finds himself increasingly immersed in domestic life with Rita and her children. What started as convenient cover dating a woman who wanted companionship without physical intimacy has evolved into something more complex. After uncharacteristically drinking beer at Rita, Dexter responds to her warmth in surprising ways. Their once performative relationship develops authentic dimensions, culminating in an accidental marriage proposal that Rita happily accepts. This creates profound discomfort for Dexter, who has always viewed himself as separate from normal human connections. "I'd done nothing wrong," he reflects, "just tried to help my sister, exercised, eaten vegetables, and avoided slicing up monsters, yet somehow virtue had snuck around behind me and bitten me on the ass." The engagement deepens his disguise, simultaneously protecting and threatening his true nature. Complicating matters is his growing attachment to Rita's children, especially Cody, with his emerging dark tendencies. Dexter wonders if this fake family might offer more than camouflage. Perhaps he could become a father figure, particularly to Cody, who might need the guidance Harry once provided him. In the final confrontation, Dexter becomes Dr. Danko's captive, waking up strapped beside the partially dismembered Doakes. Danko forces them into a gruesome hangman game where wrong guesses cost body parts. For Doakes, the word is treachery, with 5 letters revealed through his dismemberment. Deborah arrives with the wounded Chutsky and kills Danko, saving both men. Looking into Doakes' hate-filled eyes, Dexter sees his happy ending. Doakes survived, but is too mutilated to threaten Dexter's carefully constructed life. The epilogue shows Dexter at sunrise after long-delayed work. McGregor's boat will sink before reaching Bimini. On the ocean floor, a weighted package sways. Riker's remains, McGregor's accomplice in child predation, now feeding the crabs. Dexter's appeal lies in how his struggle mirrors our own contradictions. His balance between monstrous nature and human connection reflects our negotiation between social expectations and primal urges. In his divided self, we recognize something of our own. That recognition, both uncomfortable and strangely comforting. Aren't we all wearing masks?